Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast, raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
We have a Bible workshop today, and the Bible workshop is about prayer. Before we start, I just want you to quickly feel that the first practice. I'm making the assumption that you have a pen. So, if the first question is, do you think you have a healthy prayer lifestyle? Yes or no? I didn't put maybe or I'm not sure there, because if you are not sure, the answer is no. If you are not sure, the answer is what? Is no. It's not a multiple choice. Very quickly, we don't have time. The Lord has spoken to us this evening already. So we can close now. And we know we've come for service. But I just want to teach you something small before we go. Because some people are struggling in their prayer lives. And we need to talk about it. Because we're already in 2025. January has finished. So once January finishes, the year starts moving. And I don't want your this year to just go. So, do you have a healthy prayer lifestyle? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, answer number two. If your answer is no, answer number three. Then when you finish answering it, open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 11, from verse 1 to 13. Luke 11, verse 1 to 13. I read, it says, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me these three loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, the door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yes, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as what? As he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be what? It will be opened. If a son asks for a bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of what? A fish. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him what? Will he offer him what? A scorpion. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Very beautiful passage. That has a lot of things for us. Because the disciples asked Jesus one question. Teach us to pray. But Jesus went beyond just teaching them how to pray. Jesus went beyond teaching them how to pray. He taught them how to pray quite all right. But he also gave them an assurance for answered what? Answered prayer. He could have just stopped at the end of the lesson. But he didn't stop there. He started to give them analogies, right? Starts to give them analogies as to assure them and to build up their faith that if they pray, those prayers will be what? Will be answered. He gave them one analogy about persistence in prayer. He gave them another about giving good gifts and how the Holy Spirit has been what? Given to us as long as we ask. And everything that the Holy Spirit comes with is given. Right? Prayer is at the root of the entirety of religious practice, beyond Christianity. Is there any religion where they don't pray? I'm asking you. Does it exist? Every religion has two things. Every religion has a text, right? That guides how they live. And every religion has what? Prayer. Because at the root of man is a desire to know God and to communicate with what? With Him. Even the people that call themselves atheists, if you check, you see that the frustration that they have comes from their inability to what? To know God and to communicate with Him. Because every human being wants to hear Him, right? And that's the truth. We want to know His thoughts. We want to know what He thinks. We want to know what He says. We want to know His desires for us. We want to know His laws. We want to know exactly how He wants us to live. We want to know. We need it, right? It's a need. Once you get over the line of accepting that you are a creature, the next thing you need is what? It's your creator. That's just truth. And so we're here to talk about prayer. Because we also have to approach prayer from what? From a position of need, right? So I want to show you something in Colossians before we start. So can you open your Bible to the book of Colossians chapter 4 verse 2. Colossians 4 2. Please, I want you to give it to me in KJV, then give it to me in CSB, and give it to me in ESV if you have it. Colossians 4:2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? With thanksgiving. Please give it to me in CSB. It says, devote yourselves to what? To prayer. And stay alert in it with what? With thanksgiving. ESV says, continue steadfastly in what? In prayer. Being watchful in it with what? With thanksgiving. All of these words, devote, commit, give yourself, right? Communicate that there is commitment. That is not just something that you touch and go. It's something that you have to keep at, right? And everything that is a commitment is measurable. Every commitment is what? It's measurable. Is it true or false? Every commitment is what? It's measurable. You can measure it. So in practice two, please, quickly, because this is, I just want to get through the practices before I start going into the meat of what I'm saying. I told you to write down two things that you are committed to, right? And three things that prove that you are committed to them. Because commitment is measurable. You cannot just say you are committed and it's up in the air. So if you are committed to your husband or your wife, it's measurable. You have to be able to write the things that you do or know the things that you do to prove that you are. If you are committed to your job, it's measurable. Is it not? Every commitment is measurable. And so when the Bible is saying devote yourselves to prayer, commit yourselves to prayer, give yourselves over to prayer, and be watchful with thanksgiving, it means that your prayer life is something that you can track. Which is why we say things like, okay, someone's prayer life is what? Is low, right? When we say it's low, what does it mean? Something has happened. And so it's measurable. It's what? It's measurable. Sorry. And from scripture, when we discuss prayer, I think there are three things that I can say matter when it comes to it being measurable. Because it is. The first is length. How long you spend in what? In prayer. Second is consistency. How often do you what? Pray. The third is quality. I'll talk about that later. These things are real. You know, some people say how long you pray doesn't matter. It does. It does. How do I know it matters? Because Jesus was praying and he took his disciples to the garden. Why? Right? And then he came back and he made them sleeping. What did he ask them? What did he ask them? Couldn't you what? Say it loud now. For even an hour. Why did he add an hour there? If length doesn't matter. I'm asking you. It matters. That's our Savior. So you couldn't even watch for what? For 1 hour. An hour is a unit of measurement of what? Of time. And so the length of time you pray matters. Oftentimes, when people just give their lives to Jesus, there's a tendency to emphasize consistency over length, right? Say things like, okay, just make sure you pray every word, every day. Even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just make sure you pray. But that statement is not 100% correct. Because you should be able to grow in it. And you should actually speak to people and let them know that God expects you to what? To grow. And so someone cannot be stuck in a church for 2-3 years. And the longest they can go in a day is still 15 minutes. Huh? What are you doing? And even that 15 minutes itself is a struggle. Because they'll run out of prayer points. And when they get to the presence of God, it's just chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. And after that, they are done. Why are you laughing? It's probably your life somehow. Oh, JB, you're smiling. Okay? Don't let, see, they are just, the ones that are laughing around you. Don't let them deceive you. They might have it too. We should be able to grow, right? You cannot remain in the same spot. So length matters. So what I'm here to do is to give you some tips, right? We'll still read this Matthew 26, 41 to 45. We'll read it. We'll open it. I just want to let you know that length, the length of time, the amount of time you spend with God matters. And even in that verse, you see why it matters. Consistency also what matters. And the quality of your prayer life also matters. Because your prayer life has quality. I don't want to mention a church name. But you know all this, when you go into the presence of God and all you're praying is die and die and die. Or whatever they pray. Or when it just sounds like chanting, right? When just like they're just repeating the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Is that prayer? Even if you want to say it is, there's a problem with the quality, right? Because the entire point of prayer is that you get results. Eh? You get results. So if your prayer life is not producing results, you're doing something wrong. True or false? True. Because it's supposed to be an experience with God. And so, when we say that commitments can be measured, right? And for prayer, we talk about length, consistency, and what? Quality. Let's look at length. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 26, 41 to 45, where Jesus said what he said. Matthew 26, 41 to 45. Thank you. It says, watch and pray, lest you enter into what? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. 42. And again, the second time he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my father, if this cup cannot pass over me, unless I drink it, your will be what? Be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were what? Heavy. So he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same what? Words. And then he came to his disciples and says, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of what? Sinners. The event, Jesus would still have died, but maybe the events of that night with regards to those disciples that he took might have turned out very differently if they actually stayed up to what? To pray. And what he said to them is very important. He said, the spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. Every time you step into the presence of God in prayer, you're going into warfare. And you just have to know it as a fact. You're going into warfare. I'm not saying when you go and pray warfare prayers. Are you listening to me? I'm saying any act of prayer is an act of what? Of war against your flesh. Against your what? Your flesh. Because your body would want to do everything else but pray. And it doesn't matter the time of the day, whether it's early in the morning or not. It's the same thing. Your body wants to do everything else but pray. Have you noticed that you'll be tired to pray sometimes, and then another activity shows up, and strength comes to you from nowhere? But you were tired when you want to pray, and then you just maybe you do 5 minutes, you do 5 minutes, you do 10 minutes. You now stop. And when you're done, you now decide to go and do something else. And all of a sudden, the entire tiredness just has gone. Why? Because you were not really tired. Your spirit was what? Willing. But your flesh was what? It was weak. It was weak. Every act of prayer, every single time you step into the presence of God and say, okay, I want to pray, you are going to war. With your body first, with yourself. And there are three things God has given us. The first thing is, he says, enter his gates with what? With thanksgiving and his courts with what? With praise. Praise is a source of strength in your prayer life. A source of what? Of strength. And so there are times you might wake up and you might not have the energy. Just start singing. Start what? Singing. And before you know it, what will happen? Energy will just what? It will just come. And then you'll be able to carry on and pray. And so it's a source of strength. These are practical steps, right? The second, in terms of length, is praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. Because the Bible says that when you pray in tongues, your understanding is not what? It's not fruitful. And Jude chapter 1 verse 20 there, it says that we should build up our most holy faith doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. When I talk about praying in the Holy Ghost here, everybody here is baptized, apart from children. Even the children, sometimes, I've heard Jubi a few times. Uh-huh. So, but everybody here is baptized in what? In the Holy Ghost. Fine. When I'm talking about praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in tongues, I'm not speaking about prayer of request. So, I'm not speaking about you having something to ask God or to say to God and say, okay, you give the request in known language. Then you now switch to tongues to pray it. No. I'm talking about praying in tongues for the sake of what? Of praying in tongues. Where the end is also the means. Do that. And let me tell you something. When it comes to praying in the Holy Spirit like this, do not deceive yourself that it is something that will just come like this. What do I mean? Don't say, wake up in the morning and probably you finish your praises and you want to start praying in tongues. And you now start praying in tongues. And after the first 5 minutes, you now look at your time and say, it's like the spirit is not moving today. Then you now what? You stop. You pack up shop. The spirit will never move. Remember what I said? It's what? It's warfare. Paul said you have many instructors but few fathers, right? That is my spiritual father. But I've had some instructors in this life that really helped me. When I was in school, one of the instructors that helped me in my first year, he's currently going about doing, I talk about him a lot. He goes evangelism, does missionary stuff. There's something he used to do for us. And when he started doing it, it was like was like, ah, what are you doing? We'll gather in the basketball court of school in night. And he would just gather us together. First year, it was in final year. All of us, first year, chocolate, short boys, all of us, guys. He'll gather us together and say, okay, after we worship and pray, he'll just look at the time and say, okay, I'm going to be praying in tongues for the next 25 minutes. No prayer points. Go, start praying. And we'll start praying. And at first, some people were like, are you get tired? He'll say, no, don't stop. Keep praying. You're building up your most holy faith. He did it for us to the point that he got words. He got easier. And then a day will come when we'll pray there for hours. We'll not even know time has passed. Some of us have not prayed in tongues to the point that we are groaning. That we want to stop, but God is not allowing, the Spirit of God is not allowing us to what? To stop. It's because you've not been persistent. It's because you've not stayed. So you have to be very practical about this thing. There are times when I want to just blow in tongues. I look at my phone. I just check the time. Okay, I'm going to pray in tongues for the next 45 minutes. And there are days that 45 minutes will pass. I'll not even notice. There are also other days that 10 minutes will pass. It will feel like 1 hour. I don't stop. The Bible says pray in season and out of what? Out of season. But you keep doing it. You are building up your words. The most holy faith. It's like exercise. It's spiritual exercise. And anybody that's gone to gym in this life knows that you don't start with the big weight. You start with one small thing. That people that have been coming for a while will just be looking at you like, oh, this one is new. Everybody knows who is new in the gym. It's true. They know if you are new. It's not about your face. It's about what you go and carry. Because if you go and... But the thing is that if you keep going, what will happen? You build your capacity. And the third thing is praying with what? The scriptures. Pray with the word of God. We do it here a lot in service. But you should do it in your private life too. If you pick a chapter of the Bible and use it to pray for yourself, an hour will pass. You will not know. You have not finished. Are we together? No, there was a time when mommy used to challenge us in this church. I should tell you that a tithe of your day is 2 hours 40 minutes. And you should spend that 2 hours 40 minutes with what? With God. And sometimes I look at your faces when she say, when she's saying that thing like, is this naturally what? Possible. It's possible. It is. It is. God wants you, right? He wants you. He wants you to have time for him. There are days we'll get to call it later. There are days that you have the most fulfilling time in God's presence and you did not ask him for one thing. You didn't make what? One request. At least that you know about. You might have made one when you were praying in tongues, but you did not go to him with the intent of what? Of making what? A request. You just went to spend time with him. And that's where we all should be. And so length matters. Pray with scriptures. I gave you two examples here. Isaiah 60. Mommy has prayed with this scripture so much for you people here that it's just redundant putting it there. And Isaiah 49. People have too much experience in this church to not be using that scripture in your that book in your private life. But the other books. If you want to pray through victory over sin, use Romans chapter 6. There are things that Paul says in Romans chapter 6. And I do it a lot. I do it a lot. You open Romans 6 when he starts telling you that, do you not know that you've been crucified with Jesus and you are raised up with him? When he starts telling you that you should not present your members unto unrighteousness, but unto righteousness and holiness unto God. And you go to God and say, oh Lord, all my members, both in my conscious and my subconscious, both in my waking time and in my sleep, my members are committed to what? To righteousness and holiness. My hands will do righteousness and holiness. My legs will go to righteous and holy places. This my mind will think righteous and holy thoughts. From where? From the scripture. 1 hour will pass. You are still praying it. You've not even gotten halfway. Are we together? Pray the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. Use it to pray. And you'll see that if you start doing this thing, the quality of your prayer life is going to improve. And you'll no longer be a Christian that does rule to the answer. Just kick it here, kick it there, kick it there. And you're off to start your day. That's not what God wants for you. Amen. Let's talk consistency quickly. It's almost 8. We're leaving here by 8. So, before I talk to you about practical steps of consistency, the thing is that I want to read Psalm 63 from verse 1 to 2 to you. Psalm 63, 1 to 2, it says what? It says, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I what? Seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Verse 2 says, "So I looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and what? To see your glory." Consistency in prayer has to come from hunger. There's something very primal about David when he's describing the desire for God here. Essentially, what he's saying is, without you, I can't survive. And if you wake up every morning with an understanding that without God, I cannot what? Survive. If you treat your relationship with God like the oxygen that you are breathing in and the carbon dioxide that you are breathing out, then a heart towards consistency will not be a problem for you. But a lot of times, this is the thing that happens. On the day that you have a wonderful prayer time, you now skip 2 days. So, Monday, maybe after this message now, tomorrow, you say, "Oh yes, Pastor Billy taught us some things." And tomorrow morning, you have a beautiful time in God's presence. Now, you don't pray again till like Thursday. It's because somehow, there's something inside you that felt like, you know, you now feel very spiritual. That's the devil. Because feelings are what? The devil. We walk by faith, not by what? Not by sight, not by feelings, not by how holy you feel. When that prayer time was so awesome and you step out and it's like, nobody can stay my wife. And then you now use that one for Tuesday and Wednesday. Then you come back on Thursday. It doesn't work. Amen. The point is that when God is like air to you, you come back every day. And so the practical steps I'll give you are very, very simple here. They are not long. The first one is that you have to take out time to pray every day. The second one is, if you can, you have to establish a constant period of the day dedicated towards to prayers. I said if you can. Because some people can't. Some people work shifts. Right? Some people, today, they are working in the morning to whatever. Tomorrow, they've changed their shift. So if you can, maintain a consistent time. And just make sure that time you choose is free from external what? Distraction. Now, the reason why it is advised for people to pray in the morning, early in the morning, is because of freedom from distraction. That's the reason why. Or late at night. It's because those are the times when you can be assured that distractions are what? Are minimal. Because once the sun has not come out, particularly if you live just on the street, when by 6, 7, you're already hearing bus conductor outside fighting someone for change, and people are already disturbing your destiny, you can't wake up and pray at that time. Wake up earlier. Are we together? Wake up earlier. Because the entire purpose of prayer is communion with God, right? You want to spend the time with God. Usually what will happen is that if you build a consistency in your prayer life, you will have a period in time when you pray the most or you enjoy praying the most. May I know my own time. It's not as if I cannot pray after that time, but I know the time of the day. It's very early in the morning. Between 4, No, between 3:30 and 6. Now, there are some days that, like, tomorrow morning now, I preach in the morning. I preach this night. I don't think I'm going to wake up by 4 tomorrow morning. Which brings me to the final point, is like, do not be rigid about it to the detriment of your prayer life. So let's say tomorrow morning and I wake up by 6:30. I should not now say, oh, my peak prayer time has passed. No prayer today. I'll wait till tomorrow when I can wake up by what? By 4 a.m. It doesn't work. Still pray. But generally speaking, what you will find is that there will be a period in time when you will start to what? You build a habit. I know the time that daddy wakes up to pray. It's also, he has a window. Usually. Because I've lived with him for a while. And mommy too. She has a window. And Kathy. Because I live with them, right? But that doesn't, you don't discover that if you've not learned how to be consistent in what? In prayer. And you have to build consistency. Are we together? That has to be every day. And the final thing I want to talk about is quality. What is quality? Quality just means that there are different types of prayers, right? And in scripture, we find that there are different types of prayers. Generally speaking, I would say there are 6. Right? There's prayer of thanksgiving, which you know, right? The prayer of thanksgiving is you thanking God for the things that he has done. Prayer of adoration is you essentially just blessing God for who he is. Who he is. There's prayer of intercession, which is you standing in the gap for somebody else. There's prayer of supplication, which is you requesting from God. There's prayer of confession, which is you essentially taking the word of God and just what? Confessing it. It's prayer too. This one, I really enjoyed this during the pandemic. Because, you know, we used to use masks everywhere we go. So I can be in a bus or in a car, just be confessing. Nobody can see my mouth moving. But these days, if you're in an Uber, you're doing it. The Uber man will think you're talking to him. Say, sir. Say, I'm not talking. I'm not talking to you. But back then, you know, when you're covered with a mask, you can do whatever you like under. Nobody hears. Right? And then we have general prayers. Quality is never a problem when length and consistency are taken care of. What do I mean by that? It's very, very simple. It's the Holy Spirit that guides our prayer lives, right? It's the Spirit of God that leads us to pray. He was given to us so that we can commune with God. If you've never interceded in your life, or you've never been moved to intercede, it is probably because you never stay in God's presence long enough for him to even trust you on any matter. Are we together? Intercession is not a one-day thing. There are periods in our lives when we find ourselves groaning in the spirit for a particular issue. Today, God is telling you, okay, this thing, pray about it. And it's not about you. Tomorrow, he's telling you, pray about it. Next tomorrow, he's telling you, pray about it. But God has to be able to trust you with such an assignment. He said he's looking for someone that will stand in the gap. The question is it you he's looking for? You cannot experience some things in your prayer life. The quality of your prayer life cannot improve if you are dogmatic and all you do is just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you're already tired, you go. There are days that you wake up and you want to pray and you have requests in your head before you start the prayer. And when you start the prayer turns to a thanksgiving session. But that's because your spirit is open. And when when the prayer turns to a thanksgiving session, you do not now say, no, today I said I was going to ask God for that job. Then you now cancel. And the songs will keep coming to your spirit. And you want to sing. You say, no, I must. And after you now request, you know, God, do it, do it, do it, do it. Then you are tired. 5 minutes, do it. 10 minutes, do it. In just time, I pray, you left. When God is leading you, what? In another direction. If you are not willing to spend the time and to consistently come before God's presence every day, you will not experience different dimensions of what? Of this prayer life. Because our God is a dynamic God. And spending time with Him is never a bore. It's never a bore. It is not. But the problem usually is that we are too quick to run away. How many of you have experienced, okay, today, don't leave your room, don't go anywhere, stay inside. Who has experienced it? Really? And you just stay inside and you're just praying. If you have not experienced it, it's a beautiful thing to experience. You know, as I'm saying it now, some people are saying it, but what about my office? In their mind, they're saying, ah, so if I experience this in that day now, I'll not now go to work. Am I lying? I'm not lying. You know that you can be thinking about it. When the creator of the universe, who made you and knows your boss and can crumble that company, and can crumble that company and write your sack letter, tells you, my son, Jibola, don't leave your room today. I want to talk to you. Pray. What will you do? You have to pray. Right? God doesn't want a hurry time in His presence. He wants you to take the time and actually fellowship with Him. Take the time and fellowship with Him. And once you commit yourself to spending time with Him, you'll see that the quality of your prayer life will improve. And the quality of your entire life will now what? Improve. Some of us were stuck in the same place spiritually because we don't pray. We don't pray. That's the truth. We need to pray. We need to pray. And it's discipline. You have to find it. You have to find it. Do whatever works for you. Man, I'm very proud. I have alarms for my prayer times, though. I have alarms that are set for my prayer times. On my calendar, it reminds me. End of day prayer. Morning prayer. This prayer. It's there. So at least something is in my face telling me, okay, Billy, go and pray. Be practical about your spiritual life is what I'm just saying here. Do not leave it up to faith. God is not going to come and help you to plan it all. Jesus has died. He has done the work. He has gone. Jesus is not going to come down and say, no, you have to work out your salvation. You have to work it out by yourself. Every day, you have to work it out. You have to wake up with the determination that, okay, today, I want to pray. And you look at the time. I'm not leaving this prayer time till 9. Let's say it's 8 o'clock. Or let's say it's 4 a.m. Okay. I'm not leaving this prayer time till 5. It will not be easy, but do it. God does not operate on your feelings. He's looking at your heart. Do it. Pray. And tomorrow, come back. It will change your life. It will change your life. The reason why we're doing this early in the year, I may not have time to do it again. Until maybe we have a special program and we just do another one. And it will not be for you then, it will be for new people. But this year cannot go the way it's going. And you continue like this. How many of us ticked yes? Okay, good. So if you not tick yes, you know you have work to do. This year cannot continue like this. We have to change. We have to change. We have to spend more time with God. And there's never no time. There's never no time. Because God is calling you to Him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. There are things He wants to say to you about your life. And I pray that you give Him the ears this year. Amen. Let's rise up. The only assignment I have for you as we close this service is don't let today end. If you've not planned your prayer life, if your prayer life is just up to faith and whatever wind moves you when you wake up in the morning, if your prayer life is, let's see how it goes tomorrow, let it change. After this, take some practical steps. Are you hearing me? Take some practical steps. Open your Bible. Identify scriptures. And if you don't know the scriptures, go online and say, okay, scriptures about this. That's why they have the internet. Scriptures about faith. Scriptures about prosperity. Scriptures about whatever your need is. And write them down and say, okay, tomorrow morning when I wake up, I want to pray with this verse of the Bible. Are we together? It's not something up in the air. Do it. Practice it. It'll work. It will work. Because it's God's word and his word does not fail. Amen? And Father, we give you this for this evening. I want you to just thank him for all that we've heard today. Magnify him, his holy name. Say, Lord, I bless you. I give you glory. I give you honor for all that you said to me. Father, give me the grace. Give me the grace to continue in this spirit with you. To commit myself to prayer. To commit my life to prayer. First in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries, dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.